comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. It seems we've got a buzz in the background. There we go. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted you're here. I think you're going to be delighted as well. And I hope you make a habit out of it. Tonight is K-Files night. That means that when the show is over tonight, we begin sending out this week's edition of the K-Files E-Zine. Now, if you're not subscribed, where's the genius in that? There's no genius in that. All the genius lies in being a subscriber to the K-Files E-Zine. So you want to be sure and get over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and just locate the button that says K-Files E-Zine. You'll see it. Click on it. Subscribe. You'll get a confirmation email. Click the link that's in there so that you can activate your subscription, and you're good to go. Then you'll be getting the K-Files easy. It's absolutely free, no strings attached. Now, I've been getting a whole bunch of email lately, and I mean a lot of email requests, because I mentioned that one of our listeners had sent me a link, and it really had some information in it that I thought was stunning and disturbing. And I said on the show that it had to do with some Hebrew words. I said on the show, I checked it out, and it is correct. What the video says is correct. Well, I've been getting a lot of email from people who say, you know, don't leave us hanging. What's the link? Well, folks, the nature of this has political implications. Now, I don't know, one or two, maybe three in the beginning, I sent you the link. And then I quit. I quit sending the link out because I was getting so many requests. I can see, I've been doing this a long time, I can see what's coming. It has political implications. It is not political, but it has political implications. So I know what would happen. What would happen is I start sending this link to everyone. Sooner or later, they start sending it to their friends, and they say, I got this from Kevin Smith. I am not the source of this information, and I am not going to be labeled as the source of this information, even though I'm not disassociating myself from the fact that I checked it out. It is accurate. What is said is accurate. But I am not the source of this information, and I don't want me or this show dragged into that sort of perception that people have. This show doesn't get into politics. Now, we do talk about big issues like world government as it relates to our genre. We did that last night. Anything that relates to the genre, yes, we'll talk about it. But this doesn't relate to the genre of this show. So here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to forward these emails over to Jeff, who sent me the link. If he wants to send it to you, he can. If he doesn't, that's the end of the story. I cannot distribute the information and get the show involved in that. All right, we'll be back right after this. right. This is Open Line Live Night. We'll open the telephones here in just a little bit, and you'll be able to call in. We'll talk about whatever is on your mind. I brought some stuff to the table as well, so we can throw that out there and see what you think about it. Let me remind you, as I said, tonight is K-Files night, so if you have not yet subscribed, you know what you need to do. You need to get over to kevinsmithshow.com and subscribe. Today's my birthday. Some of you know that and sent me birthday greetings. I do appreciate it very, very much. Thank you very much. But I want to do something for my birthday for you and for the Kevin Smith Show. As you know, each and every month we have to pay the bills, right? So here's what I have put together for my birthday. This is a birthday special, all right? Here it is. Let me get this open. Can you see this? For those of you who are on radio, I am holding up for the cameras here in the studio a picture of a DVD. All right, now what this is a little documentary that Walter Bosley and I did. It is called Ancient Energy and Petroglyphs. We take you out on South Mountain, and we take you up the rock cliffs and to some petroglyphs. You get to see them up close and personal. You also get to see what they call the Magic Castle. The Magic Castle is a building. It's a castle that was built by a guy. He had tuberculosis, left his family. It was his wife and little girl, disappeared. They didn't know where he was. And he went out in the middle of, at that time, nowhere. And just from indigenous rocks around there, built this castle. When he died, the lawyer then called the family and informed the little girl, who was now grown, that she had inherited this castle. It sits on the intersection of 14 ley lines. And that plays prominently into what's in this documentary. So you want to be sure and grab this if you can. But here's what we're going to do. I've got a bunch of these made up. Not a whole bunch. I think I've got about 15 of them made up. During the show tonight, if you make a donation of $20 or more, you're going to get this in the mail. I'll put it in the mail tomorrow morning. All right? Now, we have new equipment here for processing orders. We've got everything streamlined, finally, we think. But this will go in the mail tomorrow. All right? In addition to this, you're going to get another CD, and it has four ebooks on it. One of those ebooks is God's in the Garden. All right? It's the ebook version of God's in the Garden. There are three others that I have selected for you, and I think you'll enjoy them. I'm going to keep that a surprise for you. One of them you've heard of, one of them you haven't, one of them maybe you've heard of. But there are four ebooks on that CD. So you'll get two. You'll get this DVD and a CD that has four ebooks on it. And that's if during the show tonight you go over to my website, click where it says donate, and donate $20 or more. Now, that $20 is, of course, covers the cost of this, covers the cost of the postage, and what's left over goes to help pay the bills. We are looking at, we're 2 weeks away from having to pay all those bills again. Happens every month. We are just above the halfway mark in being able to pay for those. All right? So, you know, if you want to help the show and you want to grab some good stuff at the same time, these are ready. They're made up. They're ready. The CDs with the e-books on it, made up and ready to go. All that has to happen is you do the donation, and we'll send them to you as a thank you gift. All All right. They'll go out in the mail tomorrow. Now, it's got to happen during the show tonight. All right. That's when it's got to happen. In order, and look, you can give a donation anytime, but in order for you to grab these bonus gifts, you got to do it during the show tonight. The reason is simple. That is, we have to get these packaged up so we can get them to the post office in the morning. Okay? All right. As I said, this is open line, and that means that we get to talk about whatever you want to talk about, and we will do so. I want to throw a couple of things on the table here. Interesting report out actually today, and as you may know, the current administration has put together a panel to review NASA. And they've been going through NASA's plans for the future and looking at NASA's budget, and they have come to some conclusions. The conclusions are not, in my opinion, in the best interest of this country, nor are they in the best interest of this planet. They have concluded that a human mission to Mars currently would be too risky, and that NASA simply doesn't have the budget to return to the moon. Now, if that's where it stops, these are conclusions that are certainly not good for NASA, and I think not good for this country. Certainly not good for space exploration. In looking at all of this, they said that developing new spaceships to replace the retiring space shuttle fleet and bigger rockets to reach the moon would require about $3 billion per year more than is in the budget. And they say that the only space program affordable under NASA's existing budget is an enhanced space station, one that has a side benefit of seeding a commercial passenger launch services market. Now, NASA gets $18 billion a year currently. That's their budget currently, $18 billion. Now, that used to sound like a lot of money until we learned some new words like AIG, like General Motors bailout, Chrysler bailout, bank bailout. And then we stopped talking about billions and we started learning to say trillions. And now there's this healthcare thing going on and they're talking in the trillions for that. Well, it should be noted that almost all, not all, but almost all of the advanced medical equipment that gets used these days, they send you for tests, you know, down at the hospital. You go in with a sore throat, and all you really need is, you know, something for a little sore throat, and the doctor says, oh, no, we got to do all these tests. So they send you for tests. And they do an upper GI and a lower GI, and they x-ray your little toe, and all these big tests, you know, just to make sure. Most of that equipment, not all of it, but most of it, is either directly from developments at NASA, or they are spinoffs of things developed for NASA. So when you hear about and think about all of the advanced medical stuff that's out there, think about the fact that almost all of it is a spinoff or some of it directly from the space program. You know, $18 billion, you've heard me say this. I don't just give NASA a blank check here. You know, it's not that I think we ought to just give NASA money and sit like puppies and just wait for crumbs to fall. That's not the case, and I certainly am not happy with some of the stuff that NASA very definitely has done. No question about it. They've done it. They've been caught doing it. I'm not really enthused about some of that stuff, like, you know, airbrushing things out of photographs and things like that. And they does no good for them to deny it. They've done it. They've been caught doing it. People that used to do it have gone public and said, I used to work at NASA and that's what I did. So we got to change some of that. But I still say, and you've heard me say it before, I still say that, you know, we ought to double NASA's budget. $18 billion for exploring the universe? Give me a freaking break. That's insane. $18 billion for exploring the universe. How much did AIG get? Well, I can tell you what, it was a lot more than $18 billion. How much did General Motors get? Okay, I grant you that has a more direct impact on the economy, or at least it would appear that it does. But as far as the future of this planet, we need NASA. Those of you who are really, really, really into environmental issues, I suppose you know that most of the satellites that are used to do all the science about the climate on this Earth, not all of them, but most of them, are NASA satellites. Some of them are owned and operated by some other agency, some weather agency or environmental agency, etc., but they were launched by, a lot of them, by NASA. They were developed on science that was developed by or for NASA. We need to double, at least double, NASA's budget. Now, we also need for the president and for Congress to say to NASA, all right, guys, it's time to stop playing and let's get on with this. The president and the Congress need also to say to NASA, stop hiding stuff. Come out with it. Tell the public what you've got. Now, as long as they go with openness, as long as they go with transparency, which this president says he's for, then I am for, and I think we all should be for, doubling NASA's budget. Interesting thing was said here by the panel. Listen to this. Even with additional funds, heading to the moon may not be the best choice for human missions. More economical and potentially more galvanizing to the public would be flights to asteroids and other destinations. I don't know about you, but how excited would you be about sending astronauts to land on an asteroid? I mean, that does nothing for me. That doesn't melt my butter in the least. Maybe it does yours, and you'll get a chance to tell me when we open the phone lines. But what's interesting about this is the question comes to mind, what is it they don't want us to see on the moon? I've asked this question before. Now, there are people, a significant number of people in our world who think that NASA never sent men to the moon to start with. Now, I think we did. However, There are, I'm very cognizant of the arguments that that say we didn't send people to the moon. I think we did. I am also very cognizant of a lot of photographic evidence that appears to show that the photographs are staged. But once you establish that there are some fake photographs, you have not established that the mission was fake. And I've said before, I think we went, but I think there were things they didn't want us to see. And so, yes, there were some faked photographs. That's just my opinion, my theory. I think that's probably the case. It would not be the first time, you know, that a government agency faked photographs. I won't get into it, but it certainly would not be the first time. I think we went. But let's say for a moment that those of you who think we did not go are correct. Then it raises the question, is this panel poo-pooing the idea of going, quote, back to the moon because we never really went to start with and we really can't? It gives some legitimacy to that argument. Now, I think we went, but I think there are things they don't want us to see. I think there are things they don't want us to know. And I think that is why there are these suggestions that we not go back to the moon. I brought this up when Buzz Aldrin was on TV saying, we don't need to go back to the moon. We've already been there. Let's go to Mars. And I brought this issue up at that time. You remember? Well, I'm bringing it up again. What is it that they don't want us to know about the moon? Now, they're saying we can't do it. Here's a problem. The problem is the budget. Now, that's a simple problem to fix. You see, it astounds me that Congress can meet together and in a few hours throw $1 trillion at a problem. But when it comes to NASA, they'll wrangle and debate and set up commissions and investigate and argue about whether we ought to do it. Now, something smells a great deal like fish here. We'll be back, and we'll talk some more about those fish on the other side of this break. To open up the telephone lines here in just a moment, but let me complete what I'm saying here about NASA and this thing about the moon. Don't you find this is a little bit fishy? I mean, NASA's already well into the development of the Constellation rockets and the Constellation capsule that's going to carry the astronauts to the moon. And now we have this panel that says, you know what, we can't do it. We just can't do it. And so we think it'll be more interesting, and by the way, more economical, but more interesting for the public to send astronauts to asteroids. I can't think of anything less interesting going to an asteroid. I can't think of anything less interesting than that, unless it's just continuing to do the space station thing, and they have funded that. They have funded the space station out to 2020. So they did throw a few million dollars more into the pot for that. Actually, continuing the space station commitment out to 2020. But going back to the moon, we can't do that. Something's fishy here. Something isn't right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, good evening. This is Kevin from Northern Alberta calling. Happy birthday, Kevin.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. and that's a good deal you got going there for the listeners out there with those DVDs. I strongly urge anybody and everybody that can pick those up. They're great, great things to have in the collection.
Thank you. I appreciate that, too.
Okay, now, as far as NASA goes, are they still intending to fire this probe into the moon in October?
Yes.
Okay, now what would be the purpose of searching for ice or water if they're not planning to return to the moon?
Good question. Now, they may alter if this report stands as is, and there's no money kicked over into the budget to go to the moon. They may change that plan. They may not fire the probe. I mean, that's a possibility.
Okay. Well, personally, I think it'd be darn good for the country and probably the rest of the world if they did go back to the moon as soon as possible.
Oh, I think so, too. But, it appears that there was a very rapid cooling of the idea of going to the moon toward the end of the Bush administration and the beginning of the Obama administration. It was a hot idea when Bush announced we're going back to the moon. It was a hot idea, but toward the end of that administration and the beginning of the current administration, we could see that there were signs that there was some pretty rapid cooling around this idea. And one has to wonder, maybe what I wonder is way off track, but you got to wonder, is there something there they don't want us to know about?
That's the $64,000 question.
What do you think?
Well, I like to think that we went to the moon, but then there's just that little part of me that sort of says, maybe we didn't.
Well, and see that, and I brought that up, that this action, this opinion expressed by this panel, says that we can't do it, we can't go to the moon, and that brings up the question: then is that because we never did, and we can't? I mean, you gotta wonder. It sort of gives some currency to that theory.
Well, it would be a shame to take a back seat to another country getting there and then disclosing what or what didn't go on.
Well, let's run that with that. Now, I wanna start by saying again, I think we went. I really do. But let's assume that we didn't. Let's assume that what people say about that Van Allen radiation belt is correct and that it would fry the astronauts.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It would be safe to think that maybe George Bush had not been briefed on the hoax, assuming that there was a hoax. And so he said, we're going to the moon. Yeah, well, everyone knew that was going to take a lot of time to build the machines to go there, and so they just let it ride. Now, again, this is all theoretical. It's just speculation. Then Obama becomes the president, and they come in and they brief him, and they say, Mr. President, you really need to do something about this because we never went. You can't get through the Van Allen radiation belt. If that scenario was correct, and I'm certainly not saying that that is correct, but let's say that something like that sort of happened, okay? Then they know you don't have to worry about China sending men to the moon. They're not going to get there.
Right, yeah.
And you don't have to worry about India or Japan. or anybody else sending someone to the moon because they're not going to get there. You can send probes, you can send satellites, but humans will die. Now, I'm not saying that those are facts. I'm just speculating about a scenario. And so, if we never went because of the Van Allen radiation belt, if the whole thing was a hoax, then all of this that I've read here tonight and that I've reported on gives NASA a cover for not sending someone back to the moon.
Yeah, good point, and I agree. Because raising their budget by $3 billion, I couldn't see that being a big problem.
Well, no. I mean, the federal government here in the United States has turned our federal treasury into a candy store, and they're just giving it away like it's Halloween. If you can give $1 trillion away to the worst offenders in business, then you certainly have money to put into NASA.
Yeah, so it'd only be raising it to what, $21 billion from 18?
Yeah. Look, I think they need to double it tomorrow. Just double it. And then tell NASA, okay, let's get on with this. Let's stop playing around. Let's get this done. And they've got the money. Well, I started to say they've got the money. They don't have the money. The country is dead broke. But they've got the credit. And if they're going to be passing it out, I think they need to do it with NASA.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Hey, man, thanks for the call.
Well, thank you, and again, happy birthday.
I appreciate it. Thank you. All right, the telephone lines are open, 623-444-5889 is the telephone number, and if you want to call on the toll-free number, it is 888-223-4599. One of the things that we are beginning to realize in our country, once again, is that Americans do have opinions. It's beginning to happen that they are expressing them on many issues, and we want you to be able to talk about these issues as well. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening. Joe from Pittsburgh. Happy birthday, Kevin. How are you?
Thank you, Joe. It's been a while since I've heard from you.
Yes. Well, I've been underground.
Okay, I understand.
Hey, happy birthday, by the way.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
I didn't know it was your birthday, but I heard the caller, and I just had a chance to log on. And God bless you and your family and America as well.
Thanks.
But hey, on the NASA kick.
Yeah.
As fate would have it, I've been in touch with the NASA people in the last few days discussing the Constellation project. And they're out to, I want to say 2023 by now. They're my insiders there, and it's very high up in the organization tells me we're looking at some date around 2023, and landing sites haven't even been projected or even thought about as yet. One of the inquiries I made this week was to determine landing sites in terms of what I'm doing with the folks out of JPL with regard to identification of certain mineral deposits there, such as H3 and other beryllium. Beryllium's big up there, too. But nobody seems to know anything. I can't get a word out of anybody.
Well, let me read something right here. You know who Sally Ride is, former astronaut.
Sure. Yep.
All right. Here's a quote. She said, "We can't do this program in this budget. This budget is simply not friendly to exploration."
Okay.
So, what I'm saying is you got two options, and really only two. One is to follow the advice of this panel and really scale down on what you plan to do in terms of exploration. Or be sensible and double their budget.
Yeah. Yeah, I would go with doubling the budget.
Yeah, I see. Look, Joe, we can give billions of dollars to scoundrels in business.
Absolutely.
And then we have to quibble about $18 billion that we give to NASA for exploring the whole universe?
Oh, I agree. Hey, I agree. I'm a proponent of NASA. I've been involved with them for over 35 years now. And the spinoff benefits that have come out of that space program are too numerous to even mention.
Well, they really are. I mean, you know,
I would go out on a limb and say probably about 70% of the technology, certainly medical technology and aviation technology, as well as other fields of scientific endeavor, are attributable to the space program, without question.
I would not be alive today if it were not for NASA. I live on things you can microwave.
Yeah.
If you can't microwave it, Kevin doesn't eat it because I don't cook.
Well, a lot of people would tell you you're nuts for having anything to do with microwaves, that your brain's being fried.
Well, and that may be.
You know, I know the guy who invented that stuff, a cell disruptor. His name is Dick Olson. I worked with Dick very closely when I was a student at University of Pittsburgh in the medical school back in the early 1980s. I worked with him to set up the Western Pennsylvania High Technology Council. Dick Olson was quite a guy. I don't know. I've lost touch with him and several of the other people, Lee Torgerson, Dr. Torgerson. Just great, great guys. But he was the inventor of cell disruptive technology that went on to become the microwave ovens.
Well, if you run into him, be sure you tell him that I said thanks.
If I ever run into him again, I'll be sure to mention that Kevin Smith lives on his microwave meals.
Joe, do you want to hang on through the break?
I'll stand by.
All right, stand by. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Joe from Pittsburgh. Joe, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
What do you think would happen if NASA had its budget doubled? Could we and would we be on the moon prior to 2023?
Absolutely. Without question. Without question, Kevin. Without question.
You know, Joe, I ask a question about this panel, and I want to ask it of you and get your opinion on this. First, this panel, first we had Buzz Aldrin on television saying, forget going to the moon, we've been there. What's the use of going back? We don't need to go back to the moon. Let's go to Mars. And by the way, on the moon of Mars, Phobos, there is a monolith. Now, people are really going to be saying, who put that there, when they find out about this? So a teaser hits the news, getting people interested in Mars as opposed to going to the moon. Now, this comes out saying from this panel, we can't do it. We can't go back to the moon. So here's the question. What's on the moon they don't want us to see, Joe?
I can't say for certain what is there, except a couple of exotic minerals that are of interest to mankind. I don't know if there are aliens there, or if the face, or I don't know what else is up there.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's H3 there. I know there's beryllium there. I know there's tritium, strontium 90. And all of those things could be harvested by mankind and be used by man. I don't know, you know, who the real powers that be that might be behind the U.S. not returning to the moon. But ultimately, the game plan is to build a base and to springboard from the moon to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
makes sense.
Well, here's what the panel says about going to Mars. And I'm quoting, "We think to go direct to Mars with today's technology and money is riskier than we would want to be associated with."
You know, at the risk of sounding ignorant, tell me who the people are on this panel.
All right, the one that made that statement is the former Lockheed Martin chief by the name of Norm Augustine, Sally Ride, and that's the only two names that I've seen in this report. But I'm sure we could find out who make up the panel. But that's Norm Augustine from Lockheed Martin.
Yeah, I know the name Lockheed Martin. I don't know Augustine. Never met the fella.
Yeah.
Sally Ride, I've met a couple of times. But I respect her opinion and judgment. I don't necessarily agree with that.
Yeah.
So, but I respect it. I respect the opinion. But hey, quick mention to your listeners tonight. Get outside and look at those Perseids.
Oh, yeah.
Show going on.
Got a nice show out there. If your skies are clear, go take a look at it.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, I appreciate the call, Joe.
All right. Hey, be good.
All right. If I can't be good, I'll at least be quiet about it. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Or toll free at 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus. Happy birthday to you, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
A year older and a year wiser, huh?
Oh, I don't know. It seems like it's taken forever, but I'm finally made it to 18.
Well, I tend to view it that way.
I just have a few miles on me, you know.
Oh, honey, I think we all do. Once you hit 50, you know, and beyond that, the mileage starts getting up. You know, it's like having an old hoopty, as some of my black friends call it. You know, one of those old beaters that you just can't get anything out of.
What are you trying to say about me here?
Oh, I'm not about you at all. No, just a buddy of mine has an old beat-up Ford Bronco, and he won't part with it. I mean, he's put so much money into her, and I told him, I said, well, you know, get rid of that and keep your other Ford. And he's like, nah, he said, you know, she's like an old friend. I can't get rid of her. So, but anyway, about NASA. Now, I know we've been to the moon, okay? I mean, I remember watching the landing in 1969. I was 11 at the time.
Okay.
And so I do believe we've been to the moon, but I tend to also believe that there are other, and, you know, you've talked about this before, too. There are other, alien civilizations there that don't want us there and basically said, you know, don't come back. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's the excuse that they want to use why, you know, we're not going to the moon. But at the same time, I agree with Kevin from Montreal saying, hey, look, what's the sense of sending the probe there? It doesn't make any sense. Why are you going to punch the surface of the moon with a probe if they're not planning on going back there? So to me, that's just a waste. You know, instead of sending the probe to go punch, you know, to go punch a hole in the moon's surface, put that money towards, you know, a mission to Mars. Asteroids? No. The only thing I can see going to an asteroid for would be like to explore for minerals, like Joe was just saying, doing it for that aspect. You know, searching for minerals or. You know, elements or something like that that's going to help us here on Earth, you know, for whatever reason. But, you know...
Well, the problem with that is that asteroids tend to be long-journey objects.
Right.
And that means you got to get there and you got to harvest what you're going to harvest and get off mm-hmm. of the asteroid in a relatively small window of time. Because this thing is going to pass on through the solar system and head way out to the extremities of the solar system. And it's going to be many, many, many years before it comes back, if it ever does. So I see no value whatsoever in going to asteroids.
Right, right.
Unless you're, you know, you got one that's incoming and you can attach a tow truck to it. You know, other than that, I see no reason to go there.
Right. Well, and another thing, it's not like, you know, a tourist attraction. It's not like, say, you know, going to the Galapagos Islands or something like that. There's nothing to really be seen on an asteroid. It's a hunk of space rock, basically, you know, most of the time. So, yeah, there's no value in that. I would say, plus, with, you know, the Merkaba light ships have no problem with that. But with the technology that we have today in spacecraft, you have to be able to... Asteroids are constantly moving. They're not in one trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
They're spinning, they're rolling, you know, they got pitch and yaw and all this jazz on them.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be able to have a craft that is going to be able to basically cling to it like a tick clings to a dog.
So you're right. Now, did you know that we have landed a satellite on an asteroid?
Mm-hmm.
We have done that, and I'm not talking about the one where it was deep impact, where they punched a hole in the side of an asteroid and then did all these tests on the ejecta from the impact. We actually landed a satellite on an asteroid. It can be done, but it was very, very tenuous.
Well, and see, in something like that, I think it would be, you know, but we're talking, and was the satellite very large or
no.
Fairly small?
No, it was very small. You could probably put it in the trunk of your car.
Yeah, see, this is different.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about, you know, like, say, one of the lunar modules or something like that, that's a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to compensate for something like that. Actually, what I think they should do is, I think NASA should look at using green technology, green energy, to come up with a different type of fuel for the rockets and work it from there. I think if they change their strategy, instead of just, you know, using the old standby of liquid hydrogen and liquid oxygen and then mixing those, which is very explosive, to say the least, I think if they can maybe look at changing the type of fuel that's going to be used, then work the design of not only the rockets but the entire ship around that, then that would probably be a good step for going to Mars. I think it's a great idea to go to Mars. I think that's what we need to do. I think that's what NASA needs to do. I agree with you. Why do you want to take, you know, $18 billion and spend it on to go to a hunk of rock when you don't even have the vehicle to be able to do that, to deal with that type of trajectory?
Debbie, I hate to do it, but we got a break taking over. I agree with you. Thanks for the call, and we'll be back, folks, on the other side of this break. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Very quick reminder, during the show tonight, I've got a birthday special going on, and the birthday special is this. You make a $20 donation or more to the Kevin Smith Show. That goes to help us pay the bills here at the end of the month. I'm going to send you ancient energy and petroglyphs. I showed you this at the beginning of the show. These are all made up. They're ready to go. They're waiting for you. I'm going to send it to you as a bonus or as a thank you gift for your donation. And there is also a CD that we're going to send along with this. It has four great ebooks on it. All right, just to say thanks. Now they're ready to go, and as soon as the show is over, we're going to do two things. We're going to start sending out the K-Files e-zine, and we're going to start putting labels on these and getting them ready to go to the post office in the morning. They will go out in the morning. All right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Alan from Old Hickory, Tennessee.
Hi, Alan. How are you doing this evening?
I am well. Glad to see you made it another year, and it's always good to do that.
It is indeed.
What I wanted to mention to you tonight, years ago, I read a book named Somebody Else is on the Moon by a fellow named George Leonard.
I have got that book on my bookshelf right over here.
Yes, sir.
And I'm looking at it. I've got the book.
Gigantic. Okay. What did you think of it?
I think he makes a good case.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
Giving the file numbers of the photographs really made a difference to me, and that particular book just really got me interested in the whole subject of somebody else might be on the moon, and I just have to say, a great show tonight, and it was a great show last night, too. Old Jim Mars is a favorite of mine.
He's a good guy. I don't know how the guy stays alive with the kind of information he digs up and reports on, but yeah, he's a good guy. Well, let's talk about someone else on the moon for a minute. Who do you think is on our moon?
I don't know. I tend to agree with several other folks that it's bound to be some other alien civilizations there. And I don't know if we went or not. I'm like you, back when it happened, I watched every moment of it that I could. I felt like it was really happening, and I thought I was part of history. I was getting to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And seen a lot of evidence, a lot of good evidence that certainly shows that some of what we saw back in 69 and 70 was faked.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. And, you know, never a straight answer, I guess, got us again. And I'm not so sure that I agree with continuing to fund NASA, because I just think anything the government does is a waste of money.
Do you think things have gotten that corrupt?
It seems that way to me, Kevin. It really does look like Jim Mars has probably got the facts pretty straight and right on about this being the Fourth Reich, and all they're trying to do is just fund their pet programs and carry their buddies along until they can completely take control.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've heard when I've made the case for NASA. You know, there's a lot of stuff they have done that I strongly disagree with, lots and lots of stuff. On the other hand, you know, they tell us things sometimes that we don't hear, and because we're not paying attention, and, you know, if we do pay attention, we'll hear. And the example that I've used is on their website. This is just one example. On their own website, there is a page about reports from astronauts about UFOs. And their answer says that from time to time, astronauts have reported seeing anomalous objects in space. These have been investigated, and in every case, NASA has deemed that they are not abnormal in the space environment.
Yes, I love that.
Well, okay, yeah, because, you know, what you're saying is they're normal.
That's right.
And so they do tell us things, we just don't pay attention. And they tell us in a way where it's plausible deniability. They can say, well, we didn't tell the people that there are UFOs. No, they didn't. What they said was, astronauts have reported them, and we've deemed that, we've investigated them, and we've decided that they are not deemed abnormal. Okay.
Yes, sir.
It's normal, then. They're out there.
I think George Orwell coined the term double speak.
Yeah.
That's what we get.
That's true. That is true. But, okay, well, you don't support continuing to fund NASA. I think I don't want to speak out of turn, and I don't want to speak for Richard Hoagland, but I believe that's the position he took on this show. Was that NASA needs to be replaced by something entirely new and different. And, okay, fair enough.
Hey, great show, Kevin. Keep up the good work, my friend. Keep going.
We're all right. Thanks much. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Good night.
Good night. All right, 623-444-5889 is the telephone number, or 888-223-4599 is the toll-free number. Again, toll-free, 888-223-4599. Now, if you happen to be outside the USA, you happen to be outside of Canada, you can call those numbers. They'll work. But you also may go to my website, KevinSmithShow.com, and send me a flash message. I received one early in the show, and we'll get to it. It's from Andrew in Australia. We'll get to that in just a moment. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, this is Charles from Ohio.
Hi, Charles.
Kevin, with the moon and all of that, I've been listening to your show for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our own, they say our army or has their own space fleet and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if they're kind of like using that and getting rid of NASA.
Could be. That idea has been brought up on the show here several weeks ago. Somebody brought that up. And, yeah, it could be. I don't know. And some of the indication that that might be what's happening is that when this panel was first announced shortly after Obama became the president, he announced that the formation of this panel. At first, this panel was saying, okay, we don't need new rockets and all of that stuff to get to the moon. We can use rockets that the military already has. And they were talking about merging NASA with the military space program. And so that's when people started bringing up the idea that you just brought up, that maybe that is what they're trying to do, is just get rid of NASA and all we'll have is a military space program.
I know they do a little bit of, like, medical studies with NASA in outer space. Maybe they're just funding them just to keep that going. And I do believe they were sending up with Russia, sending our astronauts up with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saving money by doing all this just to probably fund their Black Ops program.
Well, that could be, too. You know, the problem... I've told our audience this many times. The problem that you run into, and the government runs into this, they don't want people speculating, you know, about all this stuff, and they want people to just calm down and be good little boys and go home. Well, in the absence of evidence, in the absence of data, all speculations are on the table. So if you want speculations to go away, there's only one way, and that is truth. You just have to come out and tell the truth, and then the speculations go away. So, you know, until they decide to start disclosing some of this stuff to us, then all we can do is speculate, and all the speculations are just as valid as any others.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Caller, if you'll hang on just for a moment, we have a flash message from Andrew in Australia that's been holding. It says, well, many people, including some of your guests, state that the U.S. military already has a base on the moon. So perhaps that may be the reason not to send NASA back. Too much cost for a sideshow to the base that's already existing. The whole NASA entity is suspicious to me and smells like a dog doo-doo. Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
I haven't listened to the show so far, but I wanted to ask you, have you heard from Dick Criswell at all? Do you have any idea if the AlphaCom team thing might get back together or not?
Last time I talked with him, he was very expectant that it would get back. It would be called something else, and it would have a little bit different mission now. But he was very expectant that it would happen. Since he was on the show last time, I have not heard from him, so I don't know.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, I think it would be a good thing. I think it would be an excellent thing.
People something to think about. I think it would help.
Well, yeah, you know, the whole thing with AlphaCom was to gather the information that was going to be disclosed and made public, you know, to the U.S., to the people. That was its purpose. And so I think that would be a good thing.
So didn't he say that he was thinking by the fall or by the end of the year, 2009? So I guess if we go into 2010 and we might know if it's going through or not.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got that right. That's correct.
Well, I guess we'll wait and see.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
You bet. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number, and it is open line tonight, so we don't have to talk about what I brought to the table, but we can, and we will also be glad to talk about whatever is on your mind. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Stefan from Quebec City. How are you?
I'm doing well, Stefan.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Kevin, is Chinese and India intelligence that bad that they think they can go to the moon if we know we can't? Or do they know something that we don't?
Well, see, I don't think so. I have worked with people from India. I have worked with people from China and Japan and lots of other countries. And I got to tell you, any American who thinks that somehow we're technologically superior, that's a pipe dream. Now, they may not have it built, but they certainly understand it. They certainly know it. They're some of the smartest people you're ever going to meet. There's a reason why so many jobs have been outsourced to India. It's not just cheap labor. There are places on the planet where the labor's cheaper. And there's a reason why so many jobs have gone to China. It's because these people are really sharp. They're really brilliant people.
Oh, I completely agree. I'm just wondering if they know something we don't. Or if this is... it's tough to know their motivation for wanting to go to the moon, or are they really even going there to begin with?
Well, see, here's the thing. I don't think that the Van Allen radiation belt will fry the astronauts as they speed through it. Now, if you get up there in it and just circle the Earth and stay in the Van Allen belt, it's going to do bad things to you. But if you punch straight through it at a high rate of speed, you're going to pick up some radiation, but it's not going to fry you, I don't think. Now, I've seen a calculation worked out by a physicist that was checking on all of that, and he determined that you would pick up about as much radiation going through at the speed that the Apollo astronauts went through, go straight through it. You would pick up about the same amount of radiation as 3 X-rays.
Wow.
Okay. Now, if you get up there in it and you just orbit the Earth and stay in the Van Allen belt as you orbit the Earth, yeah, it's going to cook you. But if you just punch through it, then you don't pick up that much radiation. Now, here's the deal with pertaining to the question you asked. I don't think that this statement by the panel means that we never went to the moon. However, I'm slapping them on the hand a little bit and saying, look, you're giving some credence and credibility to that theory.
Yep.
All right. So I think the deal is that I think that we went. I think they know China can go. I think they know India and Japan can go. They can send men there because we did. But my question is, what is it that they want to keep from us? Now, there are people who say, well, if China goes, then they're going to find this stuff, and it's we will know about it. Okay? Okay. Well, that presumes that you think we have a free press.
Thank God for the Internet.
Well, we don't have a free press. And do you know how many people there are in the United States and Canada who still think that there were mass graves full of Albanians over in Kosovo?
Hmm.
There weren't. There were zero. Zero. But that got
portrayed, that's for sure.
Well, that got reported in the press in Canada and in the United States.
Yeah.
The truth never got reported here. The truth is the only mass graves that were found, three of them, were full of Serbs put there by the Albanians.
Hmm.
All right, now I use that as an example, and how do I know that? Nobody told me that. I know that because I was there. All right. Plus, it's a matter of official record in the Security Council archives, so you can get that online. But here's the deal. That's an example of the press being controlled, feeding a line to the Canadian and American public to justify what was done. And I'm not saying that we should not have done what we did. I'm just saying that that's an example of the press being controlled. And they never went back and corrected it. Now, in other countries, it was being reported correctly. But we never got that. So, they, you know, can they control the press and keep us from knowing what China finds on the moon? You bet they can.
Yeah. Well, let's hope the Internet stays open. The other question I have is, in regards to the moon, I find it really interesting that they say that we always see the same side. Do other satellites or moons around other planets rotate so that that planet can see a different face of their own satellite or moon?
You know, I've never...
We only see the only one.
I have never been asked that question, and I've never even thought of that question. That is an excellent question. I'll have to look into that.
Face. It might lend credence to the idea that it's artificial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you know, the moon does rotate, but it rotates at a precise speed so that it keeps the same face toward us at all times.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. If it did not rotate... If it was stationary and did not rotate on its axis, we would see the backside.
Well.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. You know what amazes me, though, Stefan, are these ancient accounts that talk about a time when the moon was not in the sky.
Oh, yeah, my own people have a legend of that.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I don't remember it right now. I can't tell it to you, but I do remember hearing something about that.
Yeah, apparently there was a time when there was no moon in the sky. And, you know, here's another thing that's interesting. All these theories about how the moon, is it broke off from the Earth and that became our moon. Yeah, well, the problem with that is with those lunar rocks that came back, you know what they discovered? It's older than the Earth.
No wonder my people call her grandmother.
Ah, do they?
Yep, Grandmother Moon, that's what we call her.
Wow, that's cool. Yep. Stefan, thanks for the call, man.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. All right, 623-444-5889. Or toll free at 888-223-4599. You know, the moon is a marvelous and mysterious heavenly body. There are so many mysteries related to the moon that it would take a year of shows just to examine each one of them. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Millie from California.
Hi, Millie.
Hi. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
More.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Kevin, I wanted to ask you, did you hear about the... They say that they found this this new planet someplace and that it's rotating up in the opposite direction backwards?
You know, I can't say that I have heard that. I'm trying to remember. I don't think I've heard that.
Yeah, it was in the news a couple of days ago that they found this planet that that the scientists are baffled because it's rotating backwards.
Hmm.
And I was just wondering, I wanted to ask you, if that was true, okay, let's say that planet, let's say it had people in it, right, or it had life.
Mm-hmm.
By rotating backwards, how would that affect life there? Would they get... No? I was wondering if they could... Like, their lifespan would be shorter than ours, maybe, or...
No, I don't think it would have any effect on it. I can't imagine how the direction of the spin would have any effect on the life on the planet. This planet, now this is a little bit different situation, but right here on this planet, we have had polar shift before, so that what was north became south, what was south became north. And it was, you know, kind of destructive at the time, but as far as having an effect on living things that survived it, it didn't have any effect on them.
Well, like you say, like you always tell us, maybe that planet is the life on it. It's used to that, right?
It may be. Millie, do you want to hang on through the break?
Oh, I'm done. I just wanted to have your opinion on that.
All right. Thanks for the call. We have to step away for break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it's open line live. That means we'll talk about whatever's on your mind. We've been talking mainly about this thing with the moon and NASA, and it's pretty interesting stuff. It's a mysterious stuff. All right, I want to share this with you before we run out of time here tonight. We've still got about a half an hour for the show, but I want to be sure I get this in. Now, this is from a MUFON report that was filed August the 3rd, 2009. This was filed by a friend of a commercial airline pilot. This friend of the commercial airline pilot is in MUFON and filed this report on behalf of the pilot, protecting the pilot's identity and other things that could identify the pilot, because he was concerned about his career. I think that it's unfortunate that airlines still make life difficult on pilots that tell the truth. And if for no other reason, I think it's a good thing. For that reason, it's a good thing that airlines are losing money. All right, here's the report. Last night, August 3rd, so this was actually filed after this, okay? Was filed on August the 9th, but it occurred August the 3rd. Last night, we were taxiing out at about 21:30 hours, late out of Houston Intercontinental Airport. We were taxiing, heading west to a spot, and the number is deleted. We were told to monitor ground control for taxi clearance to the runway. While waiting for our clearance, we spotted a very bright and large red light that was about 20 to 30 degrees above the horizon. It was moving slowly and appeared to be descending also very slowly. While watching this light, we saw it drop a smaller red light, which fell a few seconds and then vanished. We looked at each other, we being my co-pilot and a jump-seating commuter airline pilot sitting in the cockpit jump seat, and said, "Did you see that?" A few seconds later, the large red light slowly faded away and disappeared. And we thought, "Oh, that was weird." And then the large red light suddenly reappeared. It had moved in a northeasterly direction and was now closer to us. We couldn't tell how far this light was, but it was very bright, reddish-orange color, and was a steady light with no flickering. It appeared to be oval-shaped. As we were watching it, we were given clearance to taxi, so I started moving slowly, trying to keep this object in view out of my left cockpit window. Then it suddenly released another smaller red object and again slowly faded away. About the time we reached the runway, I desperately wanted to ask the tower if they were watching this, and my co-pilot said, "No, don't say anything." So I didn't. We turned onto the runway, which would have put this object out the right window, but my FO said he didn't see that. I guess that's flight officer, said he didn't see anything, so we took off. On, and he gives a runway number, but that's been deleted from the report, and turned to a heading of 125 and climbed out toward the Gulf of Mexico. This thing was very strange. It was not a police helicopter or military aircraft. There were no nav lights, that would be navigation lights, or strobe lights, and it was very near a busy airport. I thought it was strange that no one else mentioned this light to the tower. It was very visible and obvious and was very creepy. I've read similar eyewitness accounts, and this could not be explained away as misidentification. I know what it wasn't, but don't know what it was. Thought you might be interested, and it might also be interesting if anyone in the Houston area reported this thing. So anyone who is listening to the show, who happens to live out in the Houston area, on the night of August the 3rd, if you saw this, why don't you give us a call in the remaining moments of the show and tell us about it? I find one thing strange in this report, and that is, here is a pilot who talked it over with his co-pilot and decided not to report this to the tower, and then he says, "I thought it was strange that no one else was talking about this. No one else was reporting this." Well, other pilots that may have been out there awaiting takeoff are pilots that were coming into the airport, landing, that saw it, probably had that same conversation, and probably decided not to report it for exactly the same reasons. Again, I think it's a travesty that the FAA, if they're involved, or the airlines themselves, that make it difficult on these pilots if they report something like this. That's a travesty, and they need to stop that. And if they're not going to stop it, go broke. Who cares? All right. The telephone number is 623-444-5889, or toll free 888-223-4599. And I'd love to hear from you. Maybe you've got some other topic on your mind, or maybe you want to talk with us about something I've mentioned here on the show tonight. Either way, give us a call and let us benefit from your wisdom. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Jerry Wells.
Hi, Jerry.
How are you?
Outstanding, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
I was going to sing you happy birthday, but Kathy convinced me that it probably wouldn't be good to subject your listeners to that.
Okay, well, tell Kathy that she has my undying gratitude.
But I did have an idea.
Okay.
I was just sitting here editing the next episode for Expeditions TV called Ollantay Tambo when it suddenly occurred to me, it's your birthday.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do here at Expeditions TV is that for the number 10 person, the 10th person to give that $20 donation and get those wonderful gifts that you were offering,
mm-hmm.
Expeditions TV is going to also give the 10th person a complete set of videos, courtesy of Expeditions TV, to help support your show, Kevin.
Outstanding. Thanks, Jerry. I appreciate that. And folks, let me tell you, this is not a set-up deal. I had no idea. We didn't talk about this, did we, Jerry?
No, I sent you a flash message because I haven't talked to you in a while, and I wanted you to give me a call after the show.
Well, I'll do that. I will do that. Pardon me. Your flash message probably didn't get through the filter since it came from inside the USA.
Oh.
But, hang on a second. These weather changes that we're having are playing havoc with my sinuses. Anyway. Jerry and I have not talked in a long while. And I had no idea about this. So all I can say, Jerry, is thanks much. And so the 10th person that makes that donation during the show tonight will receive a complete set of videos from Expedition TV.
Now, if there isn't a number 10 person tonight,
mm-hmm.
then it isn't going to go to anybody. However, tomorrow night, you can announce it earlier, and the 10th person, if there is one tomorrow night, will get it, okay?
Well, it'll have to be Monday night because we don't broadcast on Saturdays.
Oh, good heavens, it's the end of the week.
It is the end of the week. So, can we do it on Monday night?
We can do it every night of the week until you get number 10.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. Well, hopefully we'll get to number 10 tonight.
Well, that would be good. You're keeping track, so if you have a number 10, then all you have to do is just forward me their information. I will send out a complete set of videos from Expeditions TV.
Okay. Very good. I'll do that. Jerry, thanks. I appreciate it.
Great show tonight, Kevin. I'm really enjoying it, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you much. Have a good evening.
You too.
Wow. Well, there you go, folks. Be number 10. And you will be number 10. And what he's talking about is this birthday special that I'm offering. Anyone who donates $20 or more, we'll send you this DVD. It's the little documentary called Ancient Energy and Petroglyphs. It was done by myself and Walter Bosley. We'll send you this on DVD plus a CD that's got four great e-books on it. And the 10th person to donate that $20 or more will also receive from Expeditions TV a complete set of their DVDs. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hi, Mike.
And I'm number one.
Okay. Well, it's always good to be number one.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Mine was the 6th. So we're both Leos, so there you go.
Yeah. All the best folks in the world, huh?
Yeah, there you go. What would the world be without lions?
That's right. That's right. What's on your mind this evening, Michael?
Well, I just wanted to basically tell you happy birthday and say that this idea, you know, of that's going around about whether here again or whether NASA's doing its job, I think that this stems from a deep, deep longing within each individual to get away from this planet and explore, just like Columbus and Magellan and all those people.
Yeah.
I really do.
Well, I think so. But I also think this. I think there are things on other planets that can help this planet to survive a bit longer. Anyone who does not know that this planet is dying is not watching. This planet is dying.
Sure.
Now, there are things on other planets that can help us last a little longer. And we may, just may, find a planet out there that we could actually inhabit. So some of us could survive when this planet finally kicks the bucket.
Well, what I have to say about that is if we can't survive on this planet, what are we going to do the next planet we go to? We got to learn to get along here first.
Yeah, but there are things that are not necessarily related to what we're doing that are still killing this planet.
Oh, I realize that.
And, some surviving is better than none. And here's what I wonder. Now, we've got these wonderful space telescopes up there. What if they find another Earth, and then we have not been, we've closed shop down at NASA, and we have no way to get over there? Now, that would be tragic. Michael, I got to step away for a break, man.
Hey, you have a great one, Kevin.
All right, thanks. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this, and we'll be on Final Approach when we come back. Get your fingers ready to dial. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach. And that means we only have a few minutes left in the show. But the lines are still open, 623-444-5889. Or toll free at 888-223-4599. And we'd love to hear from you what's on your mind this evening. I'm a little suspicious about this thing with the panel that examined NASA and has basically said we can't do it. Can't go to the moon, can't go to Mars. But we think the public would be a whole lot more interested in going to an asteroid. I can't think of anything less interesting. I can't think of anything more useless. In terms of actual space exploration, we need to be stepping out to the planets. We need to be developing ways and means of getting not only to these other planets, but we need to be developing ways and means to get from this solar system to other solar systems where perhaps there is a habitable second Earth. It's going to be very, very, very tough on this planet. Once the cycle tips over towards rapid decline of the entire planet. Now, I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime or yours. I think that's very long term out into the future, but I don't think it's millions of years. I think it's much more than hundreds of years, but I don't think it's millions. Now, the technology that it takes to get from this solar system to another solar system is really advanced technology. When we're talking about not being able to go to Mars, then right now, you know, they're saying we just technologically we're not there. We can't get to Mars with a manned mission. When you compare that to going to another solar system, that's another star system. The technology, the difference is many orders of magnitude exponentially. I can't even think of the words to describe it. So it's going to take a long time to develop the technology to get to these other star systems. If we're not busy working on it, we won't get there. And if they find another Earth, a planet where we could survive. The human race is going to need that planet. The human race is desperately going to need a place to go. Not everyone will get to go, but some. And if some survive, that's better than none. So stopping now and saying, okay, we're just going to explore a few of the little rocks that are floating through our solar system. We're not going to the moon. We're not going to Mars. We just can't do it. That's insane. That makes no sense at all. And I do know that there are some people in Congress and in the cabinet who have, at least at some time, listened to this show. And my opinion is, and my advice, if you want to call it advice, to those people is, double the budget at NASA and do it tomorrow. I mean, good Lord, if you can do almost a $1 trillion bailout in a matter of a few days, you can double NASA's budget tomorrow afternoon. So do it. And then tell NASA, okay, folks, get on with this. Let's don't play around. Let's get on with it. Build what you got to build and get it built now. And let's get on to the moon, and then from there to Mars, and let's start stepping out and exploring our neighborhood so we can find minerals and resources that we need to keep things going here on Earth, and then start building the propulsion systems it's going to take to get to other star systems. It's going to take many, 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 many years for them to develop the propulsion systems that we need in order to get to other star systems. It's not going to happen quickly. All right, let's see what we have in the way of flash messages. I've got, just the flash message that I read to you earlier. So we've got time for one quick call, 623-444-5889. And if you wish to call, now's the time. In a minute or two, it'll be too late. We won't take the call because we'll be too close to the end. All right, don't forget that we've got this happening, and it's going to happen through the end of the show tonight. Okay, now look, I'll be honest about it. If you make a donation, you know, within the first hour or so after the show, it'll probably still get included. But the deal is we have to get these packaged up and addressed and in the mail in the morning, so we have to do it tonight. So a $20 donation or more to help support the show, and we'll send you this DVD. It's a documentary done by myself and Walter Bosley. It's called Ancient Energy and Petroglyphs, and even if you've already got one of these, if you already purchased one, go ahead and make the donation. And then when you get this one, you can give it to somebody. Makes a good gift, a nice gift. And you'll also get a CD that's got four great ebooks on it. And one of those is God's in the Garden. And we don't make that available as an ebook very often, but it's going to be on this bonus gift CD. All right. And then three other great ebooks that will be there. So the way you do that, you go over to my website, you'll see a button that says donate, click it, make your donation, and away we go. And we'll be able to hopefully raise the rest of the money we need to pay the bills at the end of this month. Now, each and every week here on the Kevin Smith Show, we have all different kinds of shows and different kinds of guests. Have you ever wondered where we come up with all of those? Some of them turn out to be great guests. Some of them, well, not as good. But you know what? It's the information we're after. That's the thing. And the way we get the ideas for those shows is from you. you send me email, you click our contact page, and then you select where it says suggestion, and you send me emails with suggestions for show topics or for guests. And I go through those, and as many as I can, I schedule for shows that are upcoming. Some of them, can't schedule them. There are some really great guests that get suggested to me that simply refuse to do radio interviews. And we've tried to get in touch with them before and did, and we've tried to get them to come on the show, and they just won't do radio interviews. Not too many, but there are some of those. So what we do is I go through those emails and then start trying to schedule as many of those for shows as I can. If there's something that you think we need to cover, then you send me one of those emails. Next week will be another great week here at the Kevin Smith Show. I hope you'll be a part of it. Invite friends and neighbors and even enemies to be a part. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.